And when I look at it, it really gets me, I pay double attention to in the words therefore. Because the word therefore is there. And so what you need to know is the word therefore. You need to know why it's therefore. Because he'll tell you all this powerful, you know, information. And then he'll go, therefore. And that means, therefore, if you got this, you better do this. It's a huge word. Just like for is the same thing. We just kind of throw for it. No, for is a big word in the scripture and all of those things. So just to let you know, that's what we have in the New Testament. But in Ephesians chapter 2, we definitely have it. And Ephesians chapter 2, 4 through 5, we had it. So what I did with these two verses, I took out two points that are critical in these verses, okay? And so we're going to look at these two points. Now, all the rest of it is inspired and good, but I think these two points really drive home the impact of what's happening, gives us understanding. Because a lot of times if you're reading these things and you go along, you just feel like, man, I'm just in a swirl of words, and yeah, that's really neat. But you go back and say, what did I read? And there's, you know, it's hard to sometimes to put everything together. So what I'm doing, I'm taking out two pieces here, and I want us to look at them because I think they are mind-blowing and give us really insight, all right? And so here is my take of these two verses, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. So you can just, it's there, okay? You just have to wade through the verses to get there. But it says this, but God, when we were dead, made us alive. Now that is, in fact, I'll just let you know, that was life-changing for me when I finally got to the point and weeded through the other languages and pulled those two things out. It's like, oh my gosh. And then it made everything else make sense, more sense. So we're going to look at that. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. But the key we're going to focus on is, but God, when we were dead, made us alive. All right? Now, so what we have here is before we came to know Christ, we were dead. And we were not just people with different views than Christians, just different views. We were dead. Now, that gave us a few different views. But the issue is not our information. The information is we were dead before we knew Christ. So when we came to know Christ, he didn't make us smarter. He made us alive. Amen? Oh, I know Jesus, and I'm smarter. You know, there's not a teacher I ever met that knew me would ever say that, okay? But when I came to know Jesus, I became alive. Alive. That's the difference. So Christians are alive, and that is so important for us to think on. Which means, what were we before? Happy-go-lucky, cheerful, compassionate, wise, and doing all sorts of things for people. But we were dead. We were dead. But they're nice. They're nice dead people. I mean, they are. They're dead. They're dead. Okay? And so God makes us alive, and we do all this stuff, and what's he got going for him? He's alive. We didn't do nothing. I know, but he's alive. See, that is, and there you have Christianity. Christianity. Dead people, not Christians. Christians are alive people. And Jesus made dead people alive so they could be Christians. So that's the so when you look at Ephesians, and this is a book, Ephesians is a fascinating book theologically that you can just get wrapped around the axle in all sorts of words and have fun with. But if you tie these things together, all of a sudden it's, wow, alive people start figuring things out about Jesus. Why? Because they're smarter? No. Alive. They're alive. Now, so what we want to do, we want to focus on that and say, well, what is the impact? Well, dead people do not follow Jesus, and dead people cannot perceive the way God does the things of God. That's serious. That's what they're dead to. I mean, if you want a good engineer, you know, if I wanted a good engineer to build a building, you know, I'd go, the first thing I'd say, are you a believer? No, I don't care if it's a believer or not. I want to know, can you build this thing? You know, because there are a lot of dumb Christians. You know, I mean, go ahead, say amen. They are, you know. So if I'm building a building, I want a smart engineer that can build stuff and get stuff done. That's what I want, all right? Okay, and he can build great, but doesn't make him a Christian. And God says, look at that building. Wow, you can come into heaven. That's nothing to do with it. You see what I'm saying? So the key here, and we need to focus on, when God's talking to people who are his people, they were dead, and he makes them alive. That's the key right there. That is the key. And so we need to understand that. And with what I would consider theologically challenging and to understand it, message like in Ephesians chapter 1 and 2, it's good, and we want to learn that. But what the foundation thing is, we were dead, now we're alive. Now here, try to put all this together. Because you're alive, and you can put it together. Okay, it's because I'm going to tell you. And that's the reason, really, smart people who don't know Jesus read the Bible and don't understand it and twist it and all over the place. Why? Because they're not smart? No, they're dead. They're dead. See, you have to be alive for the Bible to speak to you. See, so we're there. So this is an important part. But God, when you were dead, made you alive. So hallelujah. We just had that last praise song. Didn't it just stir in your heart? You know why? Because you're alive. That's why it stirred. You know, and so this is what God is telling us. Now, and so when we're alive, we have a relationship with God. And we start understanding spiritual things. Why? I'm going to drive this home. I'm going to drive you crazy until you. I hurt you the first time, but I'm still going to drive you crazy. Why do you understand them? Are you smarter? Why do you understand them? You're alive. Period. You're alive. Now, so what we have here, we've driven that point home. We're alive. Now, I want us to look, this is verse 4, 2, 4. I want us to look at the first three verses now in Ephesians. The first three verses. Because what the first three verses tell us, all right, it tells us how we behaved when we were dead. Y'all with me? You know. Well, what do dead people behave like? What did I behave like before Christ? Yeah. So verses 1 through 3 tells us this is how dead people behave. Now, so it helps us understand. I'm not going to ask for a hand raise. You know, did you do that? Not like that. I mean, I did it all. But it was just like, because I was dead. So the first three verses tells us how dead people behave. Now, okay, so you have the first three verses telling us how dead people behave. Now, read the first two words in verse 4. They're on the screen. This is how dead people live. Okay, then what are the next two words? But God, he stepped into the mess. See, that but God, that praise, but here's the lost people, but contrast, God. I stepped in, I fixed the mess. That bit, and that's the title of the message. But God, I fixed the mess. And I was like, what do you think? I fixed it. No, it was, so, but God, you could say, but God, here's the mess, but God fixed the mess. The but God. And we're here for the but God. Because he fixed our mess. He didn't make us any smarter, but he fixed our mess. And he started showing us the way out of the mess spiritually. Now, what lost people have, they don't have the "but, but God." They're just dead. There's no "but God." They're just dead. I mean, that's kind of a hard evangelism tool, though. You know, you say, "I just want to let you know you're dead." We'll start from there. You're dead. "I am not dead. Look, no, you're dead. Bible says so." Okay. Well, you got to use wisdom process. But God is telling us something we need to understand. He's telling us something about ourselves. You were dead, but God made you alive. And when you were dead, you did verses 1 through 3. And when you're alive, you did verses 4 through 10. I mean, actually, it's 4 through 12. 4 through 12. See? So he's telling us what's happened. So it's powerful, but we need to understand this core thing, or we just get wrapped around the axle and can't quite understand what the Bible's trying to tell us. All right? So, I didn't make an overhead for this, but would you like for me to read you about how we behaved before but God? People, maybe not. But I want to tell you something, because it's us. But also, when you look at the world, they're dead, and this is them. This is them. Everyone who doesn't know Christ, this is them. Every single one of them. That's what the Bible's saying. All right? And it's funny. The Bible is not politically correct. It's just not. It's just like, here's the truth. All right, wait and see. It's going to be hot. I mean, it's just like, and so, but it's given us the truth, and we can grab things. So here's what influenced us, but it is also the world all around us. This is who they are. This is how dead people act, which is all non-Christians. All right? Just listen to it. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. "And you were dead." Okay. All right, that's a, you know, that's his opener. You know, "Hey, come over, have dinner." You're dead. He's like, okay. "And you were dead in trespasses and sins." Now, I want to just throw sins. Well, what's sin? I want to give you a broad view of sin. Sin means to miss the mark. God sets the mark, and we missed it. How many of us have missed the mark? Because it's God's mark. That's what sin is. It missed the mark. I mean, you can list sins, plural, but sin, singular, she missed the mark, okay? It's God's mark. And he says, "You were dead in trespasses and sin in which you once walked." Okay, and that word "walk," you know, a great word. It means like to walk along and be occupied with. You know, so you were dead, trespasses of sin, and you were just occupied with the whole thing, walking in them. You know, there's no word in there. It's interesting. I talk about, you see, there's no word in there right now about conviction. These people that didn't know God, that they're dead, and they're walking in sins and trespasses, and they're convicted and feel guilty. No, you know why? Because they don't. I want to tell you, I came to know the Lord at 25. I don't ever recall being feel guilty for one sin. Never did. In fact, if I worked it right, I had lots of fun. I mean, it was kind of a blast. I mean, I was really happy-go-lucky. Well, not happy-go-lucky. Right there, just like. I just happy kid, you know. I just a happy kid, and I was not guilty. It just was. Now I wasn't mean. I'm trying to, you know, but it's just I wasn't bothered. I wasn't bothered. Why wasn't I bothered? Dead. I just dead, you know. Now, so here you are. You're walking. You're dead, and you're walking in the sins. Okay. And I'm going to just read through this, and I'll cover them. Okay. "For you were dead in the trespasses and sin in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of air, the spirit that now is at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and we were all by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. There you got it. How many of you say, why are they doing this? This tells you why they're doing it. How can they make those decisions? This tells you why they make those decisions. It's all here. It's like, I'm telling you, why are you surprised they are making those decisions? Why are you surprised? You know how they are functioning? It's dead people. They function like dead people. Why? Because they're dead. Okay? It's not. So, what does this mean? This means that people are spiritually alive. This means that people are physically alive, but spiritually dead. As a whole, people without Christ are under various influences. Right? They're under various influences. You know, they write books, and what was that one? Shoot. It just comes to my, the kids got trapped on this island or something. They left and they all grew up. And Lord of the Flies. See, you know, Lord of the Flies. They just put the kids out there and they grew up like this without any influence. Why? Because they're wired that way at birth, which explains some of your children. Okay, it's like that. You unwire them. You try to unwire them, okay? See, because this comes natural. And they write a book about it, The Lord of the Flies. How many people read the book Lord of the Flies and they read it? Well, that's the stupidest thing. It never happened. No, they read it and go, yep, that's just how it works. Because they're dead and they recognize dead people's literature. Yeah, we understand. Okay, so here you have this. And so they follow the prince of the air, following the spirit of the world, the sons of disobedience. Now, the son, when you look at this, I should pause here. Following the prince of the power of the air. Who's that? Who is it? Satan. Well, no. Yes. Now, does that mean that every single person is demon-possessed? No. It means Satan is working the government. Satan is working the issue. Satan is working it. And people and dead people are just buying into it. See? He doesn't need every person. He just needs to work the system. He needs to work the system. See? And once he gets it in the system, then all the other dead people fall in line with it. Fall in line with it. Some, I will just make this, some of the things that, how does it feel to be in Loudoun County? I mean, I got family in Texas, and they're calling up here and asking me about Loudoun County. I said, well, I didn't know I lived in Loudoun County for years. They said, no, you're in Loudoun County. I said, oh, okay, I didn't know. Well, they're in Texas. They said, what are you doing in Loudoun County? They're wondering what's going on in Loudoun County. I mean, we've made world news. Now, when you look at what's happening in Loudoun County school systems, you know what you have working there? You got almost 50-50. 50 are for it, 50 are against it. I'm not going to go into details for what, but you know what I mean. But you got half the people going, yeah. And you got the other half, no. Well, I know the half that are far from the mindset, they're dead. And that's the issue, is they're dead. You see what I'm saying? And so it helps us understand. You look at like, why? They're dead. Now, this is not, you know, they have all these meetings you can go to. Now, I'm sure you would really upset them if you just informed them that the reason they believe that, because you're dead. And too, if you went like, nah, 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 or something like that. But no, I'm saying, this is just information. We need to understand what's happening around. And this is what God is trying to show us in Ephesians. Understand what's happening, what's happening. So, here we are. But we're following the prince, the power of there, the devil. The devil's working the system. See, he has a hard time. He can't work all the billions of people. But he could get in a county and get one group of people and get the ones good. And he can focus in on a group of people and then influences all the rest of the people. He ain't no dummy. He know nothing. And I don't mean people in the board of supervisors or whatever are demon possessed. But what I'm saying, they're being influenced by evil thinking. And they don't fight it because they don't see, that sounds good, make nice, accept everybody, and like that. That's the way dead people think. But take a stand on principle, it means you understand this is what God says. And you understand what God says because you're alive. Alive. And I would say, who created this contrast? Who created this conflict? God. You think he told us this for Loudoun County? That, like, you know, it's just like, or he just watched Loudoun County and then he wrote it? No, he wrote it 2,000 years ago. Because it's going to continue to repeat himself, because this is the way Satan works to grab control and destroy people. He works through the system. And so what comes contrast to the system is the church. All right, so here we go. Where am I? Okay, it also says, you know, following the prince, the power of the air. And then it says, following the spirit that is at work in the sons of disobedience. Why? They think they're being brilliant and they are being influenced. Okay? A spiritual influence. And then also, they're living in the passions of their flesh. Now, we have a flesh and we have passions. Okay? I mean, it's just I can do something silly and keep safe. We just love chocolate chip cookies. You know, we just love them and we're just going to eat them till we just throw up. You know? Well, they have a consequence. But what that is, that overindulgence, that delicious chocolate chip, that is part of the desire of the flesh. It's like, in fact, Paul actually makes that exactly example. He talks about immorality, and he associates, he says, just like eating, there's a flesh. You want to satisfy that flesh. You will eat all those chocolate chip cookies, you know. One's okay, but not the whole bucket, you know, coming. But he's talking about immorality, and he's like, I'm not going to do it. He said, cookies are for the stomach. Immorality is of God. He makes a difference. He doesn't use cookies, but he does use something else. But you see what I'm saying? So he's telling us something. We follow the passions of the flesh. This is just what I want to do because I don't care what the consequence. I don't care if it hurts anybody. This is what I want. See, that's flesh. That's just flesh, you know. And we don't take it to God. I wouldn't feel, you know, if I shouldn't feel this way, God would take it away. The Bible says that nowhere. It says make a decision for God. Are you going to be followed? The flesh. And it's the natural makeup of our being. Every single one of us function that way. If we didn't, we'd never eat anything and die. Okay? But we get hungry and eat, you know? So he helps us to keep going like that. And then if we're out of control, you know, we just turn out to be little porkers. Okay? Anyway, here we go. You see where I'm going. Okay? And so, living in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body. See what the picture, little cheek? It's what this little cheek wants, you know? And we follow what this little cheek wants. See, he says that's what the world does. They feed into that. So this is our fleshly body tied to this world and all its pleasures. And God says, don't love this world and all its pleasures. See, why? Because you're going to be carried away from the things of God. Amen. And we know it's wrong. See, like this, I have to go back to eating chocolate cookies. You know, you need to say chocolate cookies. You just put those things away. You know, it doesn't hurt. Nobody's going, no, like that. Now, Christians, if we're alive, we eat that first one. Oh, that's good. And then we eat the second and third. And then we're feeling guilty. Why are we feeling guilty? Because we're alive. You see what I'm saying? That's how this whole thing works. I became alive, and so he gave me his whole vision about the sins of chocolate cookies. No, he just made me alive. And then I started seeing things from his viewpoint. Y'all follow me? And here it is. It's passions of the flesh. Just passions. It's what I want to do to make me feel good. And then he says this. He ends it with this. Okay. Now he's talking about us. Okay. But he's also talking about the whole world. He's talking about the whole world that doesn't know Jesus. And he says, thus by nature. Isn't that an interesting word? Now he's still talking about us. They're dead. Thus by nature, dead people, thus by nature, they are children of wrath. Oh, just the sins of pleasures of the, you know, flesh, the body, things of the world, you know, plus all the other stuff. And it says, by nature, going by your passions, you are child of wrath. Now, he doesn't say child of the devil or anything. He says a child of wrath, which is interesting, because wrath is God's poured out judgment on all people. So dead people are children of wrath. So all of God's judgment will be poured out on his dead people. Right? Now remember, we're going to verse 4. He'll go, but God. See, you see how important the language is? I'm thinking there, you just, and God. But so he says, all right, this is who it is, this is who you are. And by nature, children of wrath. And here comes my wrath to the dead people. But God made you alive. You missed the wrath. Why did we miss the wrath? We're alive. See, and we got to think, what we need to do is understand these things, is that God, we have a view, and I mean, we do it all the time. Oh, this is a nice person in the world, and they take food to the poor. They're kind. They're sweet. They just don't care anything about Jesus, but they're good people. Okay, you know what God calls these people? Children of wrath. But God, that's not nice. That's not political. They're good. They do. Look what they've done. Look what they've done. See, God's words, they're dead. I can't have fellowship with dead people. They're dead. See, and we kind of, you know, we just go through the world. There's lots of nice people. I mean, we don't want to just, and we shouldn't tell everybody they're dead. But what we do, we start thinking it that way. Well, they're nice, and they're kind, and they're sad. No, they're dead, and God calls them children of wrath. And he means they're going to have an eternity in hell. Why? Because they're dead. Now, so we have this, therefore, now we're understanding what's going around the world, but now we're also seeing that God made us alive, and we have to live in the world of dead people. Amen? We do. He made us alive. And you think, God, I came to know you. I love you. And all these dead people drive me nuts. God, just take me out of this world. Crossed my mind a couple times. You know? But no. You're alive so that through you I can minister to dead people. They won't hear me. You know, I don't want to talk to them anyway. You know, you can have all those conversations. And then it's like, no. God says, no. It's full of dead people. You're alive. I made you alive, and I want you here because you make the difference. You make the difference. You're the salt in the earth that keeps the earth from being destroyed. Okay? So, okay, so we have this. Now, so I want to give you an example. How are we doing? We're okay on time. As you know, sometimes I get carried away with my stories, and I go way over. Well, this sermon's really never that long. But okay, now let's just imagine. I want us to help us and imagine to understand this world, and we're walking in this world, okay? Let us imagine and work with me on this metaphor, okay? Because all metaphors fall apart someplace. But just work with me. I'm trying to draw a picture here. Let us imagine a contrast of the living and the dead, okay? You with me? I'm going to work on one here. Okay? So we have this great message. We all have a great message. Okay? We have a great message. And so we go to this cemetery to share it. Come with me now. Work with me. So you have a message, and you're going to a cemetery to share the message. What's in the cemetery? dead people. So that's how it fits. You're going in the cemetery full of dead people, and you're going to share. So this is a good example of how you share with dead people, right? Y'all with me? All right? So when we go, we want to make an impression. We want them to see our strength, our numbers, and what we think. So we make posters, and we organize a protest in the cemetery. Y'all with me? Everybody got your sign? You got your sign, and you're in the cemetery, right? Love Jesus. John, I loved this guy when I was a kid. He'd hold it up in the football games. He had, big hair and yellow and orange and stuff, and he'd go to hold John 3:16. Right there. He is protesting in the cemetery. Not at all. Maybe unless it's an Alabama game, but the rest of them are cemeteries. But anyway, so here you got. You're carrying a sign in the cemetery. They're seeing your numbers, all right? Okay, and we are passionate, and we are articulate. I mean, just passion flowing out all over. And we're articulate. We've memorized scripture. Very articulate. And we have some big-name speakers to come to our cemetery to speak at our cemetery. Amen? Sound familiar? Anything? Okay. That's what we do to make a point. And then, when we are finally finished with our protest, we are surprised that everyone in the cemetery is still dead. They're dead. And they don't come alive. They're dead. Have you ever, in your life, heard, man, I went to this protest and I was filling my knees and accepted Jesus? You know? Well, no, it's a protest. Right then, you lost them. See? Because that's not how God works. That's not how God works. Because the world is spiritually dead, they cannot understand God's spiritual truth. They're dead. It's like protesting and speaking in a cemetery. The only one feels good. We feel good about it. Hey, go to church. Pastor gives us a free Bible. You did good, brother. But nothing happened. Nothing happened at all. Why? Because they were dead. They were dead. It doesn't work that way. See, the world which we live, there's a tension between the dead and the living. And you notice how I'm not saying unbelieving, because he didn't. Paul didn't use unbelieving. He uses dead. Why? Because if they're unbelieving, we can convince them to be believing. But if they're dead, then nothing we can do with them. Then nothing. You can't do one thing if they're dead. But we think we got a shot if they're just unbelieving. So God is making a principle here that we understand. I've quoted this before, but 1 John 5:19. We know that we are from God, all God's people said. Amen. We got it on our poster in the cemetery. We are from God. Okay. Children of God. And then it says this, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. You're of God, and everybody else is dead. Dead. Now, those who have not been born again, doesn't that word kind of make sense now, doesn't it? That word makes sense now. You were dead. Okay, and you're born again. That's why. Okay, now that those who have not been born again, they can have great knowledge, creativity, human compassion, all right? However, concerning the things of the one living God, they are dead, unable to understand the spiritual and moral matters. Therefore, it does not help to organize a protest in a cemetery. I'm just telling you. Do what you want to do. I'm just telling you. It doesn't help. You're not going to help. Nothing. Why? Because they're dead. The few people on the other side, way to go, go get them. Well, they're the people who are alive. They're not going, but they're alive and happy. You're going, and so they can watch you on TV and with your poster. They're doing good. The Bible shows. It doesn't do it good because they're dead. They are dead. It doesn't help to be passionate and articulate. And it doesn't help to have great speakers come to the cemetery. Now listen to this. Only the words of God give life to the dead in the cemetery. Jesus, Lazarus, get up. See? Jesus didn't protest. He didn't take a sign. He said, Lazarus, get up. And words of Jesus raised the dead. And you know, it's always been that way. Only in love and wisdom with the word from the Holy Spirit can we impact this world. I'm just saying. You see what I'm saying? So, now, Jesus understood this truth. I mean, it figures he did, all right? Okay, Jesus understood this. Because when he talked to his disciples, you know, he told them what it's going to be like. And he told them what to say. I was sharing with the guys the other day. I can't remember. I asked them if they knew who Tony Campolo was, and they didn't. It just tells me they did, how old I am, because I think he's dead by now anyway. But anyway, he's a funny guy. He's a really funny guy. But he's an old Baptist preacher, but he is a social professor, in social studies, like that. So, and he kind of had real big old social issues and stuff. He said the funniest thing is, I listened to him preach, and he said, well, I'm on a plane, and somebody's beside me, and they start talking. He said, if I want to talk to him, I say, he said, what do you do? I say, I'm a professor of sociology. And we talk. And if I'm tired, don't feel good, and they say, well, says, what do you do? I tell them, I'm a Baptist preacher. And then they won't say a word to me, rest of the flight, you know. So, I mean, I like this guy. But what he did, he made this comment, he met with these people, and said, this is how we're going to impact the world. This is how we're going to change the world for Jesus. And we got to get people elected to Congress. We got to get people, in positions of high power. We got to really focus, get these people in these different places. And then we got to organize, so that we can really present Christ on a governmental level. And he said, wow. He said, I wonder why Jesus never thought of that. Think about that. Think about that. What did Jesus do? Give me 12 guys. That's what he did. And you know what he told those 12 guys to do? Get some more, get another 12. See that? I just think it helps to look at it, It saves a lot of money from making posters and praying these people come and speak, as he didn't do that. So, what did Jesus, this is what Jesus told them to do. Now, again, we think we have it bad now. It was worse there. It's worse there. I mean, the Romans and the Jews there would kill you in a heartbeat. I mean, there was no much compassion, Geneva Convention rules or none of that. Okay, there's hard nose. So Jesus said, okay, you got to get ready because they're going to come after you. He's coming. And this is what he said, dude, here is what God said to do to them, and this is what he's saying to do to us in this situation. This is out of Jesus' lips. Nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. It says in Luke 12, 11 through 12, and when they bring you before the synagogues, and the rulers and authorities. Notice the word. It was when, not if. It was when, not if. There's a big difference. He said, when. When they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and authorities, do not be anxious about how you should defend yourself. Now this is what I do. I said, listen, Wise, I want you to come. I want you to speak at the cemetery. Oh, my God, there's going to be 3,000 people there. I mean, I'd stay up every night all week getting, my theology right. And so I'd print, so I won't stutter and stammer. Could speak the way I need to and just cover the issues, Make a good presentation to the Word of God. Anyway, Jesus told them, said, when they bring you before the rulers and authorities, don't be anxious about how you should defend yourself or what you should say. Don't worry about it. I don't know where you're at. That just tickles me to death. I mean, I worry about everything I say every morning. And he goes, what's the matter with you? Don't worry about it. How you should defend yourself or what you should say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. It gets hot. The Holy Spirit will come and he'll give you words. And the dead people will stir. The dead people will stir. There'll be some dirt cracking around. Why? Because you spoke what God told you to speak. Speak. See, when I study a lot, it can come hard. Let me show you how smart I am. Yeah. Might get you a pay raise. It's not going to help you with Jesus. You see what I'm saying? So picture. Picture this. This is what Jesus told them to do. And there's not, and it applies to now and today. I think the church is doing more harm than it is good. Now, that's commentary on my part. Jesus didn't say that. But I think the church is doing more harm than good. Okay? More harm than good. But if you do this, you know, hey, you have to speak before. You just, all right, don't worry about it. Don't worry about defending yourself. Watch you say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that very hour what to say. And when that word goes out, again, there's rumbling in the graveyard. There's rumbling in the graveyard. There's dirt moving in the graveyard because God's word went out because the Holy Spirit told you what to say. That's the church. That's the way it's supposed to operate. And it's supposed to have that kind of power. It's supposed to have that kind of power. See? And a lot of times the stuff we're doing is undercutting what God wants. He's not going to give us any power. He said, that's not what I wanted in the first place. I'm not going to bless what I didn't want. You see what I'm saying? So it really begins working out. So anyway, but that's what it says. That's what it says. So, when confronted by the rulers and authorities of this world, the Holy Spirit will teach us at that very hour what to say in love and wisdom, and the cemetery will shake because God said it. Now, I'm going to cover something. This is, y'all go, don't be aggravated with me. So this is a supplement to the message, okay? So you got the picture here. You got this picture here. But the thing we ask, well, how do we have that power? How do we speak that word? How do we receive it? How do we walk in it? Well, it's amazing that God would tell us that. I mean, he told us right here what to do. There's a faith element. Holy Spirit, fill me. Holy Spirit, speak to me. Holy Spirit, you show me what to do. See, I mean, so he's got it right here. But here's something that's fascinating. And listen closely. Our personal salvation experience demonstrates how God works in the world of the dead. Our salvation experience demonstrates how God works in the world. I want you right now, how did you come to know Jesus? I don't care how it was. Everybody's is different. Different. Somehow you got some word, and then somehow you go, yes, Jesus. Somehow. And I'll just guess it wasn't from somebody carrying a poster. Just guess it. Maybe, but low percentage. Did you know how many Christians, this is a true fact, did you know how many Christians are saved by evangelistic crusades? I mean, you've seen Billy Graham, God bless Billy Graham and everything. You know what the percentage of Christians is saved by evangelistic crusades? 1%. Check it. 1%. Everything else, friends, family, workmates. Where's all the money go? Evangelistic crusades. I mean, pockets. Telling you. But so how do we get saved? How do we have the menace of salvation, the power of salvation? What happened to us? There you go. What happened to us? And the way we receive Christ is the same way we will live out our life with power. How did you? Someone told me, and I was praised Jesus, then how do you spread it? I'm just going to tell somebody and praise Jesus. That's how you received it. Listen to this verse. To me, this was earth-shattering. Other than the verses I just read, you were dead and I made you alive. This was, I read this and I thought, oh, Lord Jesus. This explains everything. Look at Colossians 2:6. Tells us everything about how to work in power. Everything to those alive. Are you ready for this? Therefore, oh, see, there that word is. He just told them a whole bunch of stuff. He goes, therefore, okay, pay attention. Okay, Colossians 2:6. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, okay, we just talked about it. How'd you do it? As you have received Christ Jesus, think about it. Think about the power. Think about how it was shared. Think about what you did. Think about the impact, everything about it. As you have received Christ Jesus as the Lord, so continue to live in Him just the way you received Him. That's the mystery. You walk in the same way you received Him. Someone came and told me, sat down and showed me love, and then all of a sudden the power of God, I just realized. Then you go, son, let me tell you what God had to me. This is what God told to me, the power of God. And you share that same power with Him, just like you were told. You repeat it. You repeat what happened to you. You hear me? That was my thing. It's like, I prayed to receive Christ. I got in the jam. I said, dear God, help me. He helped me. I read the Bible. I came to know the Lord. And through reading the scriptures without knowing any Christians, I said, oh God, forgiven. Okay, Wallace, do it again. Listen, the way you do it, just ask God. Just ask God and read the Bible, and he'll tell you. That's my testimony. And that's the way I can impact anybody. That's mine. That's the way the power is. You're going to go stand in front of the Loudoun school board. God help me, I won't go. I'm just an example. I'm not going. He's like, well, I may go if you sit to. But you're like, tell me, why are you here? You know, I was praying, God asked for help. He's miraculously answering me. And I said, I got to find out. God, I read the scripture. I came to know Him. He changed my whole life. That's how I open it. That's it. And dirt shakes in the cemetery when that happens. The rest of the stuff's nonsense because they're dead. Why argue with a dead person? You know, what do they know? What's a dead person know? Why argue with them? They don't know nothing. And they can't hear you. But to make the dirt shake, couldn't get out of the situation. God, help me. He helped me. I read, came to know Him, changed my life. Dirt shakes, because that's what God did. Now listen to this verse. This is what this verse is saying, and it makes it personal to each person, because you don't have my testimony. You have a different testimony. Listen to this. Therefore, you need to go back to Colossians and see what I just told you. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, how'd you do it? How'd that work? How did you function? As you receive Christ Jesus, so in the same way, continue to live out that. Amen? So, hey, I got you special. Live it out. Tell them. Most people like talking about themselves anyway. Say, hey, what happened to me? Okay, you know, say, tell them what happened. Now, so I'm going to. It's getting late, so I'm going to skip this other part. But I'm going to go jump down to, without going over the salvation issue part. So here's the summary. I'm skipping. You can say praise Jesus. I'm skipping a whole section here. Praise Jesus. Okay, here's the summary, the whole thing. You're dead, but God made you alive. Here's the summary. Don't protest in the cemeteries. I mean, just that's the picture. Don't protest in the cemetery. If God tells you, then you speak what He told you. Tell them something about the gospel. And your changed life. That's your power. Dirt will shake in the cemetery. Speak the word of God. And this is this verse every Christian should know. Isaiah 55:11. I think I have overhead here. Isaiah 55:11. This is what God said. See, we're all, God, what? God, what? He told you like 10 times. You didn't pay attention. Okay, God, what? And here is the God, what? He tells us again. Isaiah 55:11. And finally, how consistent God is. You know? God is. Isaiah 55:11. God said, my word that goes out of my mouth shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it." There it is. Why say anything else? You got to bring him into the situation. I mean, it's nice to talk to people, but if you want to move something for Jesus, what's God saying to say? All the rest of it is nonsense. Just nonsense. See? And that's what God's telling us. And John 3:16 is foundation. For God so loved the world. God is full of dead people. Holy good gravy. It's full of dead people. God so loved the world. He gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believed on him have eternal life. Will not perish, have eternal life. Whoever believed in him, not the ones. God so loved the world. You believed the wisdom of the Loudoun County School Board, or you had wisdom to talk and discuss the things of the Loudoun County School Board. No, he so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him, that's what you share with the Loudoun County School Board. They're dead. They're dead, and they'll never do anything different until they become alive, and only God can make them alive. And God's people said, amen. This is what God's telling you. He wants to be everything. If you haven't noticed that. And we're here because we know Jesus. And we're alive. And what we have is alive. See? So we should argue about that other stuff is nonsense. Okay? Because that's the way dead people. Here's something. I'll leave it with this. The dead people are doing exactly what the dead people are supposed to do. They're doing what they're supposed to do. But I don't want them to do that. Then bring them to Jesus. God will make them alive. And they won't be dead anymore. And they won't act like dead people. Don't get mad at dead people for acting like dead people. You know, I can just see people in graveyards just going out with, you know, a big axe just beating the dirt. I hate you being dead. Smack, smack, knock over their tombstone. That's what we're doing to the world. See? They need to know Christ. They're dead because they're dead, and they act dead because they're dead. They need to be alive, and the only thing to make them alive is Jesus. Jesus. Well, how do I share? How did he share with you? See, that's your method. What did he do to make you change your mind? That's your message. And you're the example that drives dead people crazy, by the way. Because you're alive. It's not why what you believe. It's because you're alive. And you won't change because you're alive. I don't want to be dead anymore. Hallelujah, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you for your goodness and Lord, as we look at this in the crazy world, but it's always been crazy. It's always been crazy. It's always been full of dead people. And Lord, we just want to share what you tell us. We want to speak what you tell us, Lord, and see you move. We want to see you move in the graveyards. We want to see you move, cause dirt to crack and shake. But it can only happen as we speak the words with love and wisdom that you give us. You are the only one that makes the dead alive. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.